Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. Today, we continue our series on Project 2025 by discussing plans to steal the election and abortion. A new Media Matters report has found significant ties between authors, contributors, and partner organizations involved in Project 2025 and the ongoing right-wing efforts to disenfranchise voters and sow confusion about the election, which is in just 12 days. The Heritage Foundation leads Project 2025 and is a central hub in the election denial and voter suppression movement. Heritage Foundation senior legal fellow Hans von Spakovsky has a decades-long career pushing voter fraud myths. He leads Heritage's election law reform initiative and reportedly helped develop its flawed and misleading election fraud database. That database, quote, substantially inflates and exaggerates the occurrence of voter fraud, according to the Brennan Center for Justice. The Media Matters report exposes several groups organizing to steal and sow doubt about the election. They include the Only Citizens Vote Coalition, America First Legal, Tea Party Patriots, and Turning Point USA. Joining us is Madeline Peltz, co-author of the Media Matters report. Madeline is Deputy Director of Rapid Response at Media Matters, a nonprofit watchdog journalism organization. Hi, Madeline. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
I want to ask you an overall question about media coverage of Project 2025. You all at Media Matters wrote a definitive guide to Project 2025 a couple months ago, and you write that this is an extreme right-wing initiative organized by the Heritage Foundation to provide policy and personnel to the next Republican presidential administration. The effort involves more than 100 partner organizations, a database of potential MAGA staffers, a secret 180-day plan, and its nearly 900-page policy book. Now, we've been doing an ongoing series on Project 2025, Madeline, and it has gotten a lot of attention. But I feel like in the last month or two, that attention has really dipped. You all at Media Matters do a great job of just monitoring media across the board. So given that we're 12 days out until the election, what are your thoughts about coverage of Project 2025 over the past few weeks?
I agree with you 100%. I've seen the coverage dip in the mainstream media. It really peaked over the summer after Media Matters published a clip showing the president of the Heritage Foundation, Kevin Roberts, saying that they were engaged in a, quote, bloodless revolution. And that really what brought Project 2025 to the forefront of the conversation over the summer that coincided with the excitement over Kamala Harris's candidacy for president. And in the last few weeks, a lot of the coverage of the election has turned to polls and horse race politics, who's ahead, who's behind. And as this race has tightened, the policy conversation has really, unfortunately, fallen to the wayside. So anytime we applaud anytime the mainstream media takes the lead on covering Project 2025. You saw the New York Times fortunately publish a major report yesterday about the overlap between Project 2025 and Trump's inner circle. But more coverage is definitely needed so that voters know what's at stake in this upcoming election.
Yeah, I think you make a really good point. I've been watching the cable shows too much over the last few weeks, and they're focusing so much on just the horrible things that Trump says on the campaign trail, him swaying to the music, saying, get your fat ass off the couch and go vote. And they're focusing so much on that, but so little on actual policies. Are you seeing this across the board, given that you all cover what the media says and doesn't say about what's at stake in this election?
Yeah, I'm hoping that the mainstream media can do both in these final 12 days. The behavior we're seeing from Donald Trump is concerning, it's fascistic, it's erratic, and deserves to get coverage. Also important are the universe of national security officials and military officials that have described Trump as a wannabe dictator and fascist who admires Hitler and authoritarian regimes. But at the same time, the gap that the Trump campaign has left by creating this circus around the gap they've left in the policy area is really where Project 2025 fills in the blank. As your listeners likely know, there is a 900 plus page policy book that details in excruciating detail what a second administration would prioritize. And it is essentially a radical reshaping of the federal government, the federal judiciary, and the role of civil rights in your life and mine. And it's of paramount importance that really should be at the forefront of newspaper and cable news coverage.
And just to let listeners know, because so much is moving so quickly, we talked a few days ago about General Mark Milley saying that Donald Trump is fascist to the core. He told Bob Woodward that, and it's in his new book called War. And then John Kelly, the Trump White House's longest serving chief of staff, told the New York Times that Donald Trump meets the definition of a fascist and would rule like a dictator. And then a lot of people are talking about this Jeffrey Goldberg article in The Atlantic. Trump said, "I need the kind of generals that Hitler had." So those things should be discussed, but also the policy should be discussed. Before we talk about your new report about ongoing efforts to disenfranchise voters, sow confusion about the election, and then potentially try to steal the election, what in Project 2025 concerns you the most that you don't think is getting the attention it deserves?
Well, I think the plans to consolidate the executive's power around the implementation of the rule of law is perhaps one of the most radical and threatening proposals in Project 2025. The policy book makes the argument that the Department of Justice, which is meant to be an independent agency that upholds the rule of law, is not actually independent, but it is essentially an extension of the president's agenda. And as Trump has articulated for years on the campaign trail, the priority of his administration will be to pursue retributional prosecutions of his political enemies. And I think that that is perhaps the most not widely understood by the public, just how radical that proposal is. To support that agenda, another focus of Project 2025 is staffing the federal bureaucracy with pro-Trump loyalists who would implement an illegal and unconstitutional application of the law. They would strip existing public servants who are nonpartisan and nonpolitical of their worker protections, fire them en masse, and replace them with up to 50,000 loyalists within the federal bureaucracy that are willing to violate the law on behalf of Trump. And so that has trickle-down effects across American society that really is just the type of thing that keeps you up at night.
We're joined today by Madeline Peltz, Deputy Director of Rapid Response at Media Matters, a nonprofit watchdog journalism organization. They've done extensive coverage of Project 2025, and they're out with a new report that exposes ties between Project 2025 and the ongoing right-wing efforts to disenfranchise voters and sow confusion about the election. Madeline will be on with us for 15 more minutes. So if you have any questions for her about what she has found monitoring media coverage of Project 2025 and then putting out these reports, you can give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email your call at kalw.org. So in the new report, you point out that The Heritage Foundation, which is leading Project 2025, is at the center of many of the efforts to disenfranchise voters and ultimately steal the election. You point out that the New Yorker's Jane Mayer identified the Heritage Foundation as one of the election denial movement's leaders. Following the 2020 election, Heritage has extensive connections to election denial groups through both direct collaboration on voter suppression policies and the Project 2025 Advisory Board, which includes more than 110 conservative groups. So lay out what you all found in this report.
We put out a new report yesterday that points out how the Heritage Foundation, in collaboration with 10 other major players that are part of Project 2025, have engage in efforts to attempt to steal or otherwise undermine confidence in the election. So the Project 2025 has multiple components. One of them is an advisory board that includes, as you mentioned, over 100 organizations in the conservative movement. And these organizations share common funding. They sometimes share common personnel, and they certainly work together to align their agenda. One component of this agenda that is of paramount importance at the moment is, of course, the integrity of the upcoming 2024 election. So in collaboration with the Heritage Foundation, these members of the advisory board are engaged in bad faith lawsuits to try to disenfranchise voters. They are putting out false information to sow confusion and undermine public confidence, and false reports, particularly about this myth of non-citizen voting. So they're really flooding the zone with disinformation that they would then capitalize not just to shape public opinion, but also to initiate a larger legal strategy to undermine the election and tip it for Trump.
Can you tell us about the money involved in all of this? Because you have cited so many news organizations that have done a very good job of following the money. One example is Heritage gave $100,000 to the Immigration Accountability Project, which fearmongers about the myth of mass voting by non-citizens. The Immigration Accountability Project is a, quote, steering group in the Only Citizens Vote Coalition. And this is according to The Guardian. I have to say, Madeline, sometimes when we do these shows and I mention these groups, it's head spinning because there are just so many groups that most of us have never heard of. And yet they're heavily funded and they have a lot of influence.
Absolutely. It's all dark money, which makes it very difficult to track, meaning that conservative billionaires are investing millions, tens of millions of dollars into the election denial movement. These dollars are getting ping-ponged between dark money funding organizations, nonprofits, and their subsidiaries, and it makes it very difficult and sometimes impossible to track. And you have legendary journalists like Jane Mayer who have dedicated her career to tracking this kind of money. But so one of the main funders of election denial is a small and little known but extremely powerful funder known as the Bradley Foundation. It distributes tens of millions of dollars across the movement that get trickled down into groups like the Election Integrity Network, which is an initiative really at the center of election denial and closely connected to the Heritage Foundation. There was a report that came out yesterday from the Wall Street Journal that also looks into these donor networks and found that a secretive network of Republican donors and conservative billionaires have given more than $140 million to 50 loosely connected groups that work together on what they call election integrity, but really is an attempt to undermine the public trust in elections. So there is a lot of money flowing through this. It's difficult to track, but we in Media Matters have really been paying attention attention to the best journalists on this out there and trying to communicate their findings to our audience.
Okay, what else do you know about the Bradley Foundation? You all write that Cleta Mitchell, the election denier, is on the board of the funding organization, the Bradley Foundation. Jane Mayer, as you said, has been doing a lot of reporting on this. They fund a number of right-wing groups, including the Heritage Foundation, ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, Honest Elections Project, and many more. According to Jane Mayer, an animating force behind the Bradley Foundation's war on election fraud, quote-unquote, is Cleta Mitchell. Mitchell and the Election Integrity Network are fierce supporters of rule changes instituted by the Georgia State Elections Board that could undermine election result certification in the state.
So the Lynn and Harry Bradley Foundation is a Wisconsin-based private tax-exempt organization that is a hub for distributing money across the conservative movement for a wide variety of pet issues, but most concerningly at the moment is these challenges to the election rules in an attempt to undermine free and fair elections. This was once the strategy just of the far right, but in recent years, since 2020 especially, the right-wing movement has been preparing for the moment that we are in now. And the Bradley Foundation has been a key enabler of this agenda. They have an endowment of around $850 million, and they have been spending tens of millions of dollars on these so-called election integrity groups. The Bradley Foundation also has ties to the infamous John Birch Society, which was a anti-communist conspiracy organization that became the breeding ground for a lot of the extreme right that you're seeing today. So this is a long existing organization that since 2020 has really come to the forefront of this election denial movement, and they're better organized than ever. They've been preparing for 4 years to litigate, to flood the zone with lawsuits, to disenfranchise voters, to spread misinformation, and discourage Democratic voters from getting out the vote. And so it's critical that people are aware of their place in counteracting this by staying aware of this type of organizing and making sure that their voices are heard.
We're joined today by Madeline Peltz, co-author of the new Media Matters report called Project 2025 Allies Are Organizing to Steal the Election. I'm glad that you went there because I was going to ask you to give us the big picture. I mean, you have sections in your report on all of these various groups, ALEC, the Conservative Partnership Institute, the Center for Renewing America, the Honest Elections Project, on and on. But when you look at what they're doing, and then you look at where we are right now, 12 days to the election, and in swing states like Pennsylvania, Michigan, Georgia, North Carolina, can you give us a sense of how this is all playing out on the ground? And what do you all expect if the election is close or if Donald Trump loses?
One thing that we're seeing, especially on the ground, are these rule changes that have come through the Georgia State Election Board. In elections in the last few years, pro-Trump MAGA loyalists have been elected as the majority on the state election board, and they have passed a collection of rules that would make it easier to delay certification of the vote, to raise unfounded concerns about fraud in the sort of fog of war that is counting the ballots. And some of these rules are extremely vague. They lack deadlines. And so they could be a way to run out the clock on certification, and which could, frankly, tip off a constitutional crisis if this is really a photo finish that we're seeing here. So I think one really big hotspot is Georgia. Some of these rules have been blocked by judges in the state, and some are in the middle of being litigated. So it's definitely an active state of play. But what's happening on the ground in Georgia is really, really concerning. You also have election denial organizations in Pennsylvania that are seeking to overturn, to throw out overseas ballots. That has been a really big focus of the right at the moment, is conspiracy theories about overseas voters and military voters who are serving overseas. They are really seeking to disenfranchise those voters. And so those are two hotspots that we're watching. It's hard to say what's going to happen, but it's definitely at the forefront of what we're paying attention to at Media Matters.
I'm glad you flagged this New York Times article in your report that came out last month by Alexandra Berzon, "Republicans Seize on False Theories About Immigrant Voting." I mean, this is just really ugly, racist, and could be potentially dangerous. So the Times is reporting about what's happening in Georgia. It's completely connected to what you just laid out. The Times writes, "One woman, a local party chair from Georgia, recommended scouring school enrollment figures to find neighborhoods with large numbers of migrants. Another, Darlene Hennessy, an activist from the Detroit area, recommended hanging up signs in, quote, ethnic neighborhoods, warning people not to vote if they were not eligible. She also suggested searching voter rolls for certain types of surnames." I mean, this is just so ugly. Hennessy told, according to a recording of a call obtained by the New York Times, "I think it's unfortunate, but sometimes the only way you can find out is to look for ethnic names. We don't want to be doing anything legal." You know, what's so sad about this, Madeline, is first of all that this is even happening in the first place, but what's scary about it is people believe these things. And we saw what happened last time when they showed up to election offices. And I've read reports about people having these emergency buttons in their office in case something happens close to or on election day.
Yeah, the election denial movement has explicitly endorsed racial profiling as a strategy to hunt out what this imaginary non-citizen voter. You mentioned the report in the New York Times about this search for, quote, ethnic names. We at Media Matters have aggregated that example and others throughout the mainstream media of similar incidents. You have an election denial leader in North Carolina saying that you need to look for quote, Hispanic sounding last names that they believe are, quote, suspicious. You also have a group that has planned to hand out flyers outside of, quote, Latino churches in both English and Spanish that say, if you are that warn about non-citizen voting. And civil rights activists, or sorry, experts have warned that these types of activities, not only is non-citizen voting nearly invisible, but also this hullabaloo over it intimidates immigrant voters, naturalized citizens, and communities of color from voting. And so you really see that this at the center of the election denial movement at the moment is this panic over non-citizen voters, and it really knits together Trump's long-standing calls to, quote, stop the steal with the xenophobic, racist, anti-immigrant sentiment that is prolific across the MAGA base. Those two things are coming together to create a really potent disinformation narrative. Mm-hmm.
And I just want to mention, if anyone wants to read about these emergency buttons, NBC reported in August, local Georgia officials equip election workers with panic buttons to combat rising threats. Cobb County, Georgia approved nearly $50,000 to purchase the devices, which allow poll workers to quickly alert authorities in emergencies. So this is what it's come to. Madeline, before we let you go, what else are you and your colleagues going to be looking out for in the coming days leading up to the election?
We're looking for anything that signals where these election denial organizations are active and what impact they're having on the ground. So we watch the right-wing media very closely in these small fringe spaces that don't get a lot of viewers. You see them telegraphing their plans and tactics, and we are trying to get ahead of that and let people know about how their vote is being targeted for disenfranchisement. So that's something we're paying very close attention to over here at Media Matters, and we will continue to not only for the next 12 days, but also through the end of election season.
Madeline Peltz is co-author of the new Media Matters report called Project 2025 Allies or Organizing to Steal the Election. Madeline is Deputy Director of Rapid Response at Media Matters. Madeline, thanks to you and your team for your important work, and thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. One of the top stories at Media Matters is called Newspaper Front Pages Ignore Trump's Former Chief of Staff, Saying the Former President is a Fascist Who Praised Hitler. Even though John Kelly went on the record saying Trump is a fascist and that he has expressed admiration for Adolf Hitler and he repeatedly denigrating soldiers and the military, the story was not featured on the front pages of the New York Times, which published that feature, or the Washington Post, the Los Angeles Times, USA Today, or the Wall Street Journal. Coming up after a break, we will continue our series on Project 2025 by talking about Idaho, a cautionary tale of life under a Project 2025 abortion ban. This is Your Call. We'll be back after this.